Shivasri Gaur Bhaktavind Gijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakavara Sayam Kundara Kunda Giri Govanan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturam Gijai Navaditam Gijai Chakradasami Gijai Yumanamai Gijai Srimadilasi Deva Gijai Samaveda Bhaktavind Gijai Gaur Vrindavanam. All glories, you simple devotees. All glories, you simple devotees. All glories, you simple devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shapopadhyaya.
So I'll say a few words, and then we can, devotees can ask questions about Krishna consciousness. So, actually, one thing. So, Om Ganatya Madandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Maha. Oh, you got a fancy recorder there. So, one thing I've realized lately, I mean, I should have realized it before, but one thing I've realized lately is that how important it is to always have transcendental sound surrounding you 24 hours a day. Because as Prabhupada said, the beginning of the material creation was sound. Prabhupada quoted from the Bible, he said, in the beginning was the word. And of course, we know the word that Lord Brahma heard was tapa. It means austerity. But the word upon which the whole universe is actually maintained is Hare Krishna. And another way of saying Hare Krishna is Om. A-U-M. That means Radha, Krishna, the living entities, which is really interesting. Did you know that? Om. So that's a different way. But chanting Hare Krishna is actually, let's say, more effective in this day and age. So transcendental sound pierces through the coverings of the material universe and enables us to reach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna. And mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Shushushro, Shradana Nasya Basa Devi Kata Ruchi. Shan Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Tirtana Shevana. That it is basically the best service we can render is by hearing. And it's the first service of all the services of the Navabhakti services, the ninefold processes of devotional service. So I've actually become very enlivened lately just trying to figure out how to hear about Krishna 24 hours a day. And using modern technology. Because actually, you have to use in this age of Kali, you have to use a crutch. You know, people criticize sometimes, and they say, "What modern technology is Maya." But Krishna says, "This in this age of Kali, what Manda Sumanda Matyo Manda Bhagyo Bhadrata." In this age of Kali, everyone is unfortunate, short-lived, and they have short memories. So basically, we need a crutch. Just like someone who is disabled, you know, has broken their leg or something like that. I don't know if anyone here has ever broken a leg. I'm sure some of you have. Then you have to use a crutch to walk. So we have crutches. And one of them is a book. A book is modern technology, too. Did you know that, Gopinath? Because previously, they didn't need books. They were Shruti Dharas. They can actually remember things just by hearing them once. So we need technology. I mean, just basically, it's been sent by Krishna. So we can remember him. We have books. We have MP3s. They used to have tapes. Nobody has tapes anymore, right? Haven't seen a tape in a long time. So we use this technology to remember Krishna. So it's so wonderful that if we use the instruments that Krishna has given us, we can be hearing about Krishna 24 hours a day. One thing I've started doing recently is I just play some pastimes of Krishna or Lord Ramchandra or something as I'm taking rest at night. Just like, it makes me remember the time when I was young, my mother would read me stories. Anyone ever have that when they were young? The mother would read them bedtime stories? Did you ever read Gopinath bedtime stories about Krishna? Probably not about Krishna. Probably was like Little Red Riding Hood or something like that. You have that story here?
Yeah.
Where, what happened with Little Red Riding Hood? She met the fox or something like that? Or, anyway. Yeah. The wolf. Oh, the wolf. And the wolf said, what did she say? Oh, what big mouth you have or something like that? I forget that story.
Big ears.
Big ears. Big ears. Okay. So that's, so, you know, it was so nice. If you remember your childhood, that most of us had mothers who read stories to us when we were young. So we don't have our mothers around anymore. My mother wouldn't want to read about Krishna anyway. So she's still alive, but she wouldn't want to read about Krishna. So we can find some way to hear about Krishna. Then we actually can be in the spiritual world 24 hours a day, which is very nice. You know, people talk about going to India or going to Govardhan or going to some holy place like that. But you can transport your consciousness to the spiritual realm by hearing. And even Krishna, of course, Krishna didn't use an MP3 player, but even Krishna liked to hear transcendental sound. There's that story where when Krishna was a little boy in Vrindavan, he would ask his mother to tell him bedtime stories. Did you know that? It's very interesting. He said, "Mom, please tell me some bedtime stories." So she told him stories about Lord Ram, because she obviously couldn't tell stories about the gopis and everything like that. Wouldn't have worked out too well. If she would have said, "Krishna, there's this person called Krishna who dances with the gopis in the middle of the night." Krishna didn't want her to find those things out. Actually, he became very embarrassed when his friend Madhu Mango would reveal it. You know Madhu Mango? Anyone's heard of Madhu Mango? He's the funny Brahmin friend of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna would be out in the fields and he would be with the girls. And Mother Yashoda would ask him, "Why are you back, or coming back so late?" And Madhu Mango would say, "Well, just looking to the girls." And Krishna would say, "I wish this guy would shut up, you know. You know, just causing me trouble." Madhu Mango always causes trouble. That's his duty. One time Radharani sent Krishna a letter on a leaf, you know, big leaf, like a palm leaf or something like that. And they said, "Oh, here's a letter for Krishna. It's such a nice thing on a leaf." And Madhu Mango said, "What's the use of this leaf? It doesn't have any sweets on it. There's no ladus on the leaf. It just has a bunch of stupid letters on it. Throw it away." You understand? He wasn't interested in the love songs or love letters. So, anyway, Krishna would hear at night from Mother Yashoda, who was reading him Ram Katha. Very interesting story. And as Mother Yashoda was reading Krishna Ram Katha at night, Krishna would jump up on his bed and get in the mood of Lord Ram. And he would jump up and he'd just make believe he had a bow and arrow and he'd pull it back and said, "Kill that rascal Ravana," and just get in a real mood. And Mother Yashoda was all worried, you know, that Krishna was, you know, something was happening with her son. He's having a breakdown or something like that. Because he was in this mood like of killing someone or shooting a bow, and she didn't understand that. But basically, Krishna was remembering his pastimes. So for us, when we hear transcendental sound vibration, we remember Krishna's pastimes, which is really interesting because Krishna's pastimes are already there in our hearts. Love of Krishna is inherent or it's part and contained within our hearts, but it just has to be awakened. It's not something unnatural. So I experience the same thing when I hear about Krishna or Ram's pastimes. It just makes me very happy. So I hear when I'm taking rest at night, I put on my MP3 player when I'm dressing, you know, bathing my deities in the morning, and the Shilas in the morning, because we have Govardhan Shilas. And sometimes when I'm in the airplane, I'm putting it on. And people are looking at me real strange because I'm going, "Hanuman, get it, get it. Smash it. What's wrong? Is he a terrorist?" You know, or something like that. So, but it really puts you on a different level. So you can be anywhere. You can be, of course, if you're at work, you can't really do it. Like if you're a nurse, you can't be, you know, like that. But whatever available moments one has, and we all have extra time. Like, it was very interesting. Like Keshav Madhava was telling me, I had just brought him from America this e-book thing, where you can load all the books in this little tank. It's called a Kindle. Some of you heard about it. So he was telling me that, you know, whenever he has a break when he's driving his tram, not while he's driving the tram, that would be a little dangerous, you know, just driving his tram. Like, I don't know if it's that way here, but in America, people are on their phones all the time while they're driving the cars. Same thing here. Anyway, so I tried to use my phone while I was driving my bicycle and it didn't work out. I didn't get in an accident, but it almost, you know, it was just like talking on the phone because you don't pay attention. You can't really multitask that well. So but Keshe Mahadeva said whenever he has a spare moment, you know, he'll just pull out this book and read about Krishna, which I was, you know, that's very inspiring. It's the same thing we're talking about. That whenever you have a spare moment, you know, you're driving a car, you're doing something else, you're cooking, you're worshiping the deities, you're walking down the road. All these are moments that you can fill with Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, we chant 16 rounds on the beads and, what is 100 or something off the beads every day. So there's that way. And I observed Prabhupada doing the same thing, not with an MP3 player, of course. But Prabhupada, whenever he was anywhere, he had his hand in his bead bag, and he was chanting, even during a TV interview. You know, the interviewer was saying, Swamiji, why is your movement growing so fast? And Prabhupada, you know, very low. And even during one TV interview, it was a really funny thing happened. They were setting up the microphone for Prabhupada during the TV interview. And the guy in the control room was saying, there's a hum in the system and I can't figure out where it's coming from. So they spent like an hour, you know, twisting all the knobs and changing the wires and everything like that. And finally they figured it out. It was Prabhupada. Interesting, isn't it? Did you ever hear that story before? You might have heard this story. But anyway, that's very interesting. So that shows you that Prabhupada always, you know, someone really wants to keep in contact with Krishna all day long. And we can do that through anywhere. You can be on the moon. You can be anywhere and just be in contact with Krishna. So it's so wonderful. Because transcendental sound, like other things you can't be doing 24 hours a day, like me. You can do the deity worship for a certain amount of time a day. But hearing, and then you'd be surprised how happy you become. You know, smiling, happy. Finland people have to become happy there. Oops. Isn't that people have to smile more here? We should have smile classes.
They aren't like that when they smile.
Oh, really? So what are they like when they're unhappy?
All emotions.
Sad. Yeah, I was reading about that. Like there was a newspaper, an article I was just reading today that says when people take Botox injections, they can't smile and they can't show emotions anymore. Did you know that?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Well,
because you've seen that in the hospital.
I was working. Turn around, she was like giving bottles.
Yeah.
Bottles for children.
Children.
When they have like spasticity.
Oh, spasticity.
On the legs or.
On the legs. Arms. But when they get it in the face, like old people, yeah. Sometimes we get Botox injections. I haven't had mine yet. But they.
Actually, one of the children said that I should get some bottles on my face. She thought that I'm already so old.
So you know, it's like that people who can't smile when they get Botox. Yeah, everything's just frozen. So we should become so ecstatic in Krishna consciousness that we're smiling all the time. And if you're hearing all the time, you actually will be smiling. It'll just be, life will be so happy. No matter, even if the rest of the world is falling apart. Like I've experienced in my life, sometimes, you know, little challenges happen. Yeah, there's all sorts of challenges, whether it's a health challenge or challenges from other people. We're talking about the threefold miseries. Or challenges from the weather, right? And then you can get into it in your mind and just get really upset and angry and want to hit somebody or want to do something. Or you can just take shelter of the holy name and just transcend the whole thing. So whenever any of these things arise, I just chant extra or get more into hearing. And I become happy. And that's the solution. It's an easy solution to all Babokshara Shotra Manobiramat. The Bhagavatam says that. 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 4. You know that? First? No. You're not Bhakti Shastri. That's a higher level. That's by Bhakti Vai Baba. Bhakti Vedanta. So, too bad. Next life. So, Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamanat. You've heard that verse before. Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamanat Bhavoshara Shotra Mano Biramat Kautama Shlava Gunana Vadat Puman Virajeta Vana Pashugnat. You know the verse. That Nivritta Tarshar, if we want to get rid of the miseries of this world, then we upagiyamanat, so we should glorify Krishna, ka uttama, who's glorified with transcendental verses, ka uttama shloka gunana vada, and the only people who won't be attracted to such a thing are those pashugnat, those who are killing animals or killers of the soul or whatever you want to call it. So we're so fortunate. I mean, sometimes we concentrate on our bad fortune, We want to sing the blues. The blues? Dun, dun, I'm so blue. That's an American genre of music. You know about that, right?
I used to play in a blues band.
Really? So you want to sing the blues. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows the sorrows. Or, 16 rounds? What do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. So sometimes we just want to think about and the mind just concentrates on these negative things, Getting older, oh no. Mirror on the wall. Oh, who's the oldest sannyasi of them all? So instead of concentrating, or no one loves me, what am I going to do with my life? Who's going to take care of me when I'm 95? You got all these things that come up. Or, Gopinath's thinking all my dhotis have holes in them. Or something like that. So instead of meditating on those things, we just could transcend them at any time. We are so fortunate we've been given Shudanam by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? Shudanam, the pure name. So it's just like we have the ability to, what is it called, beam ourselves up. If you've ever seen Star Trek. You ever seen Star Trek? Anyone here? No. I'm sure it's like beam me down, Scotty. So we can teleport ourselves to the spiritual world instantaneously at any time. And that's really wonderful. It's all in sound vibration. Everything's there in sound vibration. You don't need any external paraphernalia at all. Just need your ears and your tongue. But sometimes we just concentrate on the negative. I mean, if we concentrate on the positive, we can do so many things. It's amazing. I was just reading about this one lady. Her name is Helen Keller. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of her. She was born deaf, dumb, blind. That means she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, and she couldn't see. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's unimaginable. Yet, because she saw the positive, what happened? She was able to write books, and she's a great author. I mean, her books are just really amazing, some of the stuff she writes. Some of you have heard about her? Or no?
She's been to Finland.
Yeah. Famous person. I mean, she was writing. Somehow or other, she was writing literature, in spite of
without
not being
seeing.
What?
Without seeing,
without hearing, without speaking.
She had a good teacher.
But she thought positively. The fact is, even with a good teacher, if you're not thinking positively, you can't do anything. You just like... So we're actually our worst enemy. We're holding ourselves back in life. So we should think positively. We have so many positive things. Krishna. And you see, the example even of my godbrother, Bhakti Tirthamar, when he got this cancer, melanoma, he thought positively about it. He'd use it as a method to instruct people in Krishna consciousness, how to leave their bodies, how to be spiritual. So he didn't. So anything that happens, what do they say? If life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade. Ever hear that saying before? No. In English, a lemon means something really bad. Like if you buy a car and you say it's a lemon, it means it won't work properly. Everything breaks down on it. So if life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade out of it. Do you understand the saying now? Like whatever you've given, you can actually make something nice out of it, like Helen Keller did. So we've been given Krishna consciousness. We can make something nice out of it. We've given the best thing. We've been given the best thing. So that's my little lecture for the night. So any questions? Questions, comments, arguments? Everyone's so quiet. This is Finland, I forgot. I was just in Denmark. Everyone asked questions there. And in Stockholm, everyone asked questions, too. Yeah.
How would you describe, transcending material miseries by chanting?
Well, is that you're so much absorbed in the greatest happiness that you don't notice the material miseries. It's just like Prabhupada gave the example of taking an airplane and going so high that everything else becomes small. Isn't it? Like if you go high in an airplane, let's say there's some problem on the ground, like there's a flood or a natural disaster or an earthquake, but if you go high in an airplane, it becomes very small. And so it's a matter of perspective, of seeing things in their right perspective. I mean, and then you just consider your spiritual life, that if you follow this process of bhakti, you're going to become Krishna conscious, no matter what else happens in this lifetime. Even if everyone else hates you, isn't it? The most painful thing in this world is to have someone who you really like are close to, they turn against you. That's the most painful thing, isn't it? It's more painful than getting a knife in the heart or anything like that. It's like Shakespeare. What is that, Shakespeare? Oh, yeah, Julius Caesar. Et tu, Brute? You know Caesar. You know the Shakespeare. Is it, et tu means, and you too, Brutus? Because Brutus was Caesar's best friend. He's like an advisor, best friend, and everything like that. And that's where the word brute came from Brutus. You understand? Brute, like someone's just a brute, that means he's just an unthinking, unfeeling, insensitive person. When you say he's a dull, he's a brute, or an animal. Animal's called a brute also.
Excuse me,
B-R-U-T-E.
Brute.
It has an E at the end.
Not brute.
Brute.
No, Bruce.
No, not Bruce, but B-R-U-T-E. If it's just B-R-U-T, that's the name of a liquor. Right? There's a liquor called Brute. So, Brute. So, anyway, so that's very painful. But if one is actually able to give his emotions and thoughts and focus on Krishna, then these things are very insignificant. You know, it's very insignificant. Just like if you get 1 billion euros, if you lose 10 euros, I mean, not happy about it, but yeah, so what? Right? But if all you have is 10 euros and you lose 10 euros, you're in trouble. You're going to be walking instead of taking the tram or something like that, right? So it's like that. You have like unlimited spiritual wealth, and if something, you know, little in this world gets lost, like, you know, your body or something. So what? You have Krishna. So that's perspective. You know, seeing things in the right perspective, you know, things that are important, things that are less important. And that's how you overcome the material miseries. Nivritta-tarsha ubhigimanas pavoshita-chotram manobhidavat. It's very pleasing to the heart. Ka utama shloka gunana vadat puman virajeta vanapashugnat. But the only people who can't do that are just people who are killing or involved in very sinful activities like meat eating. Yeah.
I understand we should think ourselves like that, but what about if other people, they might think that if you also relate to their miseries in the same way, we are so transcendental, so happy.
No, we don't relate to it. Obviously, we don't. You know, someone says, oh, I have a stomach ache. Oh, you're not your body. Don't worry about it. That doesn't work like that. No, because we're compassionate. We feel for others. And when you become so transcendental, you become selfless. That you really feel the pain of others. You really want others to feel or experience the same thing. Like if you have something nice, you want to share it. You know, something very, very nice. And the more you share Krishna consciousness, the more you have of Krishna consciousness. So that's the key. I mean, that's the key to anything, to being detached from this world, to being happy all the time, to being free from the miseries of this world. And the world is arranged that you will have miseries unless you become transcendental. To be intolerant. I mean, that's the key to everything, just to always be engaged in the process of hearing. Everything else is dependent. Every other activity, even of the Navabhakti processes, you know, the nine processes of devotional service, like hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering to the lotus feet, serving, becoming the friend, and surrendering everything. All those are dependent upon hearing. You have to hear properly. And constantly, kirtaniya sada hari. That means always be chanting, which also can be understood to always be hearing about Krishna. And Krishna, it's so relishable to hear about Krishna. I mean, one thing I have that's really nice, and I have all these audio books, you know, Prabhupada's books and other books. Like I have the Chaitanya Bhagwat on an audio. You know what an audio book is? Audio book means someone's reading it. So I can't sit and read for so many hours, particularly when you get older, your eyes are not so fantastic as far as focusing for 10 hours. But, you know, you're hearing the books. I have the whole Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana, all these books. All these books, and I've recorded some too, like the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Maybe you've heard those, I post them on Facebook. Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the Lita Madhava, and now we're recording the Vidagna Madhava. So I've recorded all those, and so it's just so wonderful. You can hear transcendental literature 24 hours a day by using modern technology. I mean, you read, you hear, you chant, and then when you wake up the next morning, you feel so happy. But most people, when they go to sleep at night, they read the newspaper, turn on the computer. What else do they do? Have an argument, right? Or eat in the middle of the night or something like that. But you just hear.
You keep your whole night?
No. I won't be able to sleep, you know. I fall asleep to it and then I turn it off. You know, I turn it right when I feel myself.
But do you dream sometimes?
Yes, I dream. Yeah, of course I dream. Then I dream about whatever pastime I'm hearing about. Dream about killing Ravana or something. Ravana. It was so interesting. So many interesting things. Another thing about hearing that's much better than videos. You know, nowadays people like to watch videos a lot. But if you remember hearing or reading, you're using your mind a lot more. When you watch a video, it's just you turn off your mind. Do you ever see someone sitting in front of a TV? It's just like we have a saying that they're couch potatoes.
Yeah.
You have that saying here too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the only exercise they get is what, the remote. And then of course if you stop them from watching, they get angry and they punch you or something like that. The nice thing about hearing is you're using your mind to visualize what you're hearing about. And that's one reason why many of the young people today are not developing their brains as well as we did when I was young. Because when they watch things, you're not using your brain. It's just like passive. You understand passive? It's not active. When you read, like when I was young, I would read maybe one book a day. It's very active because your brain is being used to visualize. You know, I read many, not Krishna conscious stuff when I was young, obviously. But I read many novels and different things like, but I would always have a picture in my mind. So the mind was actually my TV screen. So now, because I've done that, when I read about Krishna, I could actually see Krishna in the mind's eye. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? You see Krishna. So nowadays people are not, because they don't, it's not a reading culture like it used to be, it's more like a TV, computer, visual culture. People don't have that faculty so much developed. So we should primarily be hearing. And then you actually see. You know, when I hear the Ramayana, I can see. Just the other day, I was listening to the story of how the monkeys were flying back to Kishkinda. Hanuman had found Sita in Lanka, and he flew to the Southern Ocean. I mean, the Southern Ocean part of India, you know, the southern part of India. He flew back to see the monkeys, and then all the monkeys flew back to Kishkinda. And it described they were like clouds in the sky, or, you know, hundreds of thousands of monkeys. So I could just see in my mind's eye the monkeys in the sky. Can you imagine, like, looking up in the sky and seeing these gigantic monkeys? It'd be frightening, wouldn't it? So I could see that. And then on the way back, they didn't go directly to Kishkinda. They went to a place called Madhuvan. You know this story? No. You should know the Ramayana.
I know that, but I don't know what
Madhuvan
is.
Madhuvan means the honey forest, basically, or bees forest. So they stopped in Madhuvan because the Madhuvan was the private forest of Sugriva, where he kept all of his honey and all his, it was nice. You probably heard about this before, no?
Not with
Madhuvan. No, you didn't hear about this. This is Valmiki Ramayana. Most people from India are familiar with the Tulsidas Ramayana instead of the Valmiki, but this is Valmiki, which is the original. So they stopped in Madhuvan, and all the monkeys, to celebrate the fact that they had found Sita, they broke open all the honey, you know, and they were drinking and getting intoxicated, lying all around, and fainting, and even urinating the honey after they digested it. And they even beat up the guards, Sugriva's guards there, because no one was allowed in this particular forest. You know, it was Sugriva's private forest. And so the guard's name was Dadi Mukh, one of the big monkeys. And so he was beaten up, and then he went back to complain to Sugriva, and Sugriva was happy. But all the monkeys were just lying down like this, completely, like you see people in Finland here, Helsinki. Like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, Sunday morning or something like that. Everyone's lying. It's all the monkeys. So you picture this in your mind, and it's very amusing, exciting, and spiritual. Because it's Krishna Katha, Ram Katha. And so spiritual life is meant to be like it. It's very personal. And, you have this picture, and you're all excited. And so when I hear about these things, I get excited because I can picture it in my mind. So we should always be hearing like that. That was my point that I wanted to make. And then you dream at night about Ram, Krishna, or Lord Narsingadev, or, you know, any of the incarnations of God. And all day long, you're just very happy. And you do your work. Yeah, if you have some job, you know, working as a nurse or something, you do your work. But you're just thinking, you know, when can I get back to my Krishna Katha? Which is our real life. You do what you have to do with the world, but you do that to get back to your real life. Does everybody understand that? And you help people. Yeah, you don't lose your compassion. You get more compassion because you want other people to be that. But in order to bring other people to that point, you have to make sure that their needs are taken care of too. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita talks about that we have physical and mental needs. He doesn't use the word needs, but he uses another word which I forget right now. But we have physical and mental things that are needs. He uses another word. If those needs are not met, no one will be steady in bhakti, he says. You can't transcend the world until your physical and mental needs. Right. What's that?
Is it necessity?
No, there's a different word other than needs and necessities he uses. And I have to check it. I was just reading it this morning. But it's the same thing. It's just a synonym. It was a synonym for needs. So he said, unless you actually meet your physical and mental, which includes emotional, of course, needs, then he said you're not going to be able to transcend. And that's quite an interesting thing. Of course, that's very much in line with what I've been teaching with this empathic communication stuff. It's like being aware of your needs. And if you're not, Bhaktivinoda is very, he is very practical. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such a practical person as far as how to integrate Krishna consciousness into this world. I mean, that's a very important contribution. I mean, all the acharyas are wonderful, and they present a certain aspect of things. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur presents like the renunciation aspect. And Prabhupada presents the aspect, many aspects, not just one aspect, but Prabhupada primarily like the devotion to the order of the spiritual master. I mean, that's when I think of Prabhupada, I think of Prabhupada's devotion to the order of his guru. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just like how to live in this world, because he was, you know, he's a magistrate and preaching Krishna consciousness simultaneously. He had a large family. So, I mean, definitely there's going to be a lot of realizations that come from such a, and a large successful family. So there's going to be a lot of realizations that come from such an environment, isn't it? You know, so you know, children, raising children, being a magistrate, being in charge of the Jagannath temple, finding Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, a eminently, like, very practical person who's in the world but not of the world. And that's how I would qualify or classify Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's really able to show us how to integrate Krishna consciousness into our lives. And his books are very important for us. I mean, because Prabhupada's books are most important, but his books in that respect are very, very important. Bhaktivinoda, particularly Chaitanya Shikshamrita, all the books that he publishes. But that book itself really tells us how to integrate Krishna consciousness. So any other questions? Questions? Yeah.
You were saying about dreams. Does bad dreams have any significance? Sometimes we, like, yeah. Even though we don't do any bad things, that night we may get some bad, at least. I sometimes get bad dreams and sometimes good dreams.
Yeah.
So do I need to take that seriously or just ignore it?
My experience is that if I have a bad dream, you know, something, you know, getting killed or something, it usually doesn't happen. I've never experienced it happen. My dreams are usually not predictive, thank God, or else I wouldn't be here today. But so what happens is, what Prabhupada said about a devotee's dreams is that usually a devotee is working out some bad karma in the dreams. You know, in other words, let's say you have a dream and you know you're thrown off of a cliff and you die in the dream. So maybe you were meant to do that in real life, but because you're taking up Krishna consciousness, that's your token reaction. And also, if you happen to be a guru, bad dreams come from bad disciples. It's a nice way to say it, isn't it? like Prabhupada said that, like, if you have a disciple who's a rascal, or if you have many disciples who are rascals, or hundreds of disciples who are rascals, then the guru may experience some bad dreams or some disease condition. So that baby, dreams are not always evidence of something inauspicious. They may be just to work things out in a dream. You know, that you're working some desires out instead of doing on the gross platform. Or maybe working karma out. Or you may be getting a token reaction to remind you about this material world. There's all sorts of reasons for dreams. It's not that dreams can always be taken as predictive. It's sometimes people worry about that. Some people who are psychics, yes, then they can dream and predict things in the dreams. But I think most of us, you know, and Prabhupada said we put together different things in the dreams, like we see gold, we see a mountain, we put together and it becomes a gold mountain, even though there's no gold mountains, but you put things together. Or it may be a result of your anxieties. You may have anxiety about something, or post-traumatic stress about something, right? PTSD. You know, let's say you were fighting in a war and you were just having to shoot people, and then, you know, you're going to have dreams about that at night. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just like you're reliving something. It's the brain's way of processing it. So dreams can mean a whole bunch of different things. I'm not taking them always. And I generally don't take them seriously unless, like, Krishna appears in the dream. And then I verify and I make sure that, you know, what Krishna said is true. You know, it's actually Krishna, because you can have Krishna say, come to you in the dreams and say some really weird thing, like you should invest in the stock market today. You know, so you really want to make sure, because it happens like that sometimes. So, dreams are dreams, but we're interested in real life, you know, what happens in the real world. And even if there's something inauspicious that's predicted, we don't worry about it, because by executing bhakti, then things become auspicious. All the inauspicious things become eradicated. That's the prayeshu, avadreshu. And all the lines in the hand become changed. Just like, I mean, even horoscopes, you know, someone did my horoscope a number of years ago, and they said, what was it? They said, at 54, you're going to die. Okay. So I was waiting, you know, I was counting down the days, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, get ready, blast off, you know. But, you know, I was disappointed. It never happened. You know, the astrologers were convinced. So here I am, you know, 62. That's quite a bit of time after 54. So I don't even worry about astrology. Whatever, you know, whatever happens. Isn't it? Gopinath likes astrology. He had one of his friends do my horoscope. But he just used the computer program. He didn't even give a bona fide interpretation. The computer programs, you really need to be an astrologer. It's a psychic, basically, to do it. The computer programs don't really tell you anything with astrology, except for the calculations of the planetary positions. So, any other questions? Or should we take prasad? Yeah.
Well, Chaitanya said that if you chant the whole name, your heart is made of
stone. Yeah, tears don't come, your heart is made of stone. So Bhagavatam says that,
what to do when you have a stone like heart like that, no crying?
Cry to cry. what do you do? You realize that you're not chanting properly. And there's a way to chant, not only avoiding the ten offenses, you really have to want what's called the sankalpa. You have to really want Krishna. You have to want to go back to. I mean, when we're chanting, what do we actually want? What is our desire? What are we asking for? It's like a desire tree, the holy names. So if you're not wanting Krishna, you're not going to get Krishna. The holy names won't give you Krishna. I mean, the holy names are Krishna, but you won't realize that unless you actually want it. It's like the desire trees in Vrindavan. You go up to them, but it depends on what you're desiring. You're not going to get devotional service from them unless you ask for it. I tell the funny story. Gopinath's heard this story before. I went to Vrindavan one time with a friend. He had just gotten divorced from his wife, and he was like 50-something years old. Bhushai, I think he met Bhushai. Anyway, so some of you may have met him. But anyway, so I went there, and we were going around Vrindavan, and he was his first time, and I said, this is a desire tree, and I hugged the tree, and I said, I'm just begging the tree that you won't get married again. You know, it's over. And he got angry at me. And he said, Mark, don't do that! And he basically almost pushed me away from the tree, and he hugged the tree again. Please forget what he said. And then, you know, like 3 weeks later, he was married. So, I mean, I have nothing against marriage, but I was just wishing a different life for him, you know. So it was really funny. So it was a question of what he desired, and his desire was stronger than my desire for him, right? So I didn't have enough compassion. Too bad. So, anyway, he's a nice devotee. He likes it. I even tell his wife the story. She likes the story. Because now they have grown-up kids. That was many years ago. And she wants to get rid of them anyway. it's not like that. But anyway, she likes the story. It's a cute thing I tell her. And him. So it's a question of the strength of your desire and what you desire. That's how the holy names reciprocate with you. Krishna is equal. Krishna is not favoring any particular individual. He's reciprocating with your desire. Would you say, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Srinapriha? Krishna is equal to everyone. He doesn't have special friends, special enemies. But he's Yayatamam Prabhajante. Tamsataiva Bajamiyaham. He's just as you approach him, he reciprocates. So you want him, you get him. If you don't want Krishna, you can be chanting Hare Krishna for 10 million years and you're not going to get Krishna. I mean, you'll have him in his holy names, but you won't see him. You're going to be dry. You'll be chanting Hare Krishna, the whole thing will be dry for you, like a desert. like the Rajasthani desert. So that's a happy note. So, yeah.
In some situations where, like, for example, friends, family members who are not Krishna conscious,
yeah,
we have to practically, in that sense, we don't discuss so much Krishna katha.
You better not to, yeah.
So in that sense, like, we need to hear what they say and we also try to communicate.
That's fine.
So sometimes we are also affected, I mean, like, I'm also affected by the discussion, and maybe I will be thinking that later on, like,
that happens, yeah.
Especially with colleagues, you discuss mainly politics, movies. And yeah. Even though you don't contribute anything, you just loaded with information because
yeah.
We can't simply leave them association, and we try to minimize as much as we can, but still there is, in that minimum time,
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah, the brain keeps processing these things,
how
too.
How do we really...
just whatever other time you have, try to hear about Krishna. And that'll take care of it. Whatever optional time. I mean, obviously, we all have to do that. I mean, I have to do that when I visit my relatives. I have to do that when I talk to people. You know, because it's life. That's life in the material world. But whatever time over, you know, optional time when we're not doing that, we should take advantage to hear. That's all. I mean, we have so much optional time during the day. So what we call dead time. Where we can do that. When you walk, like I said, when you're walking, driving, you know, like me in an airplane, flying, there's so much time. And we I hear this from devotees all the time, there's not enough time in the day. But if you look at your schedule, you're only working like 8 hours or, you know, 10 hours a day or something, whatever it is. Because a nurse has to work more some days, right?
12 and a half.
12 and a half. But not every day. I mean, you got 12 and a half on and then 3 days or something like that. Yeah, so 12 and a half hours a day. So, but there's time. You know, you slip in some time. You have to eat sometimes. So while you're eating, you listen. You have to cook. You have to do whatever, something else during the day. That's the main thing. So, yes, Madhuri Leela.
May I ask one thing? Can I ask help? I mean, can I ask help from Krishna?
Yes.
Because in this case, sometimes if I think I have lost, like this month ago or so, I had another handbag with me, and I had my bank card with me and some other
card. You lost it.
And I thought that I had lost it, you know. And I was looking everywhere. I couldn't find. So is it wrong, or can I? Because I ask him, Krishna, please help me.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's not bad.
No, you should ask Krishna. I'll come aside.
Yeah, but then I remember when I find, oh, thank you. Then I go to my altar, and I bow down. I said, thank you, Krishna. I said, then I say, oh, yeah, thank
that's
you
good.
Very much.
No, that's like the residents of Vrindavan. They always...
But it's not wrong
to
ask. Because one said you shouldn't ask Krishna to get money or something.
No, sometimes I'm on my computer and I forget the password and I say Krishna. You know, because I have so many different passwords,
yeah,
not only just
okay,
one. Krishna, help me remember the password. Krishna, help me. Yeah, it's better to go into Krishna than anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, who else are you going to ask?
And then I say, oh, yeah, it was good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can ask Krishna. That's recommended. Whatever desire we have, we should be approaching Krishna for it.
It was good. You were talking about the dreams here before.
Hmm.
So I had some bad throat, you know, a phlegm there, you know.
Hmm.
And I was dreaming something and I was suffocating that.
Oh, my God.
And I woke up and I shouted, Krishna! And I woke up in that, you
that's
know.
That's good.
I said, oh, good, that's good. But it never happened before.
That's
but
good.
I really thought I'm suffocating.
Yeah, yeah, in the dream. So, yeah, so we should train ourselves to be like that. We wake up and we say, Krishna.
So that's what we should remember when we die, the moment when we die.
We should say Krishna. Yeah.
Well, that was creativity. Like this process of listening is wonderful. And in one sense, it's very creative to imagine see Krishna's pastimes, but many people, they want to, you know, maybe reflect and then maybe, you know, write or
It's fine. Well, that's creativity too.
Yeah, but how can it be like the only right about Krishna or like just in general about creativity, not just about writing or painting? How does it fit to the program of all experience about Krishna?
Well, we can write things that will bring people to Krishna. We can write about Krishna. We can write about the philosophy. We can write about people becoming Krishna conscious. You know, there's some novels and things like that. You write. You know, things like that. You know, so so much creativity can be there. But, you know, basically, Oren, we should be centering our writing and creative activities on Krishna. Isn't it? I mean, otherwise, and it's not going to help us, unless we're going to make money through our creative activity. I mean, it's another thing. If you're working at an advertising agency, you're not going to center it on Krishna. You're going to center it on selling whatever you have to sell. But it's so pleasing. I mean, just for one's own personal benefit, if that's what one is doing one's creative work for, then it should be centered on Krishna. Or something to do with Krishna. You know, the material world and Krishna's the creator or Krishna and Vrindavan. I mean, just like, you see this artwork here, this Srimati Radharani there. Isn't that beautiful, that picture? That was done by a very, very nice devotee in Serbia. Her name is Shama Priya. She's a disciple of Satchinandana Maharaj. And it's just so pleasing. It's so pleasing to see Radharani there. Now, if we had a picture of Napoleon, it wouldn't be so pleasing. You know who Napoleon is? Yeah, it was Hamlet. Napoleon or Mona Lisa? I don't know. I can't relate to Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa. But, you know, spiritual things. I mean, I would even like Christian pictures, too. Like if it was a picture of Lord Jesus Christ preaching or something like that would be pleasing to me. But not the cross. The cross pictures are not pleasing. I don't like those. Prabhupada didn't like it. He Prabhupada cried when he saw it. Because it's a symbol. It's like, it's interesting, you know, if you look at businesses, they have branding. You know what branding is? They have a certain brand, you know, so people identify. So one reason they have the cross is because basically it excuses you for your sins. You know, Jesus died for your sins, etc., like that. So, but basically they don't think like that anymore. It's just like the brand. Like today I was in the airport and there was a Starbucks insignia. You know what Starbucks is? It's a coffee thing. So you see the Starbucks design logo, it's called. You know, logo. Then you automatically snap in. So when people have been trained to a certain logo, then they automatically snap into it. So that's part of it. Business marketing. It's called branding. Yeah, Big M. You know, things like that. You buy McDonald's. And what do you know, when she says Big M, what do you all think? McDonald's. You know, I don't think Hare Krishna. I just think McDonald's. So it's become like that, that people don't really understand what it represents. It's become more symbolic than actual. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's more like it represents something else, but they don't really think that poor, you know, they may think sometimes, but poor Jesus Christ was there and he was suffering. How could someone bear to see their guru in such a condition, right? How can any sensitive person dare to see, you know, someone they love like that? Let's say if your mother or father was killed in the concentration camps, and they had a picture of her being tortured by Mengele. You know who knew Mengele is? Anyone know who Mengele is? He was the German doctor who, you know, cut out pieces of people's bodies and put them on other people. You know, anyway, experimented with people. So if there was a picture of Mengele doing something to your mother's body, would you want to keep that picture in your living room? I don't think so. You want to have a picture of your mother, you know, as a young person, or how you want to remember her. So that's normal. So I think the reason, I mean, the actual psychological reason that they can have the crossover so much is that there's a disconnection between what it actually is. And then it's more to them what it represents than what it is. Do you understand? Represents the church. It's there. You know, you're brought up in such a scenario, brought up seeing it your whole life, so you're more comfortable. You're comfortable with that particular object, even though you don't think about what it is. You understand what I'm talking about? Psychologically, it's like that. You become desensitized. The first time you see it, it's like, ooh. But then after a while, it represents the church. It represents home. It represents your life. So I think we can't really accuse the Christians of always being cruel by having the cross, because they're desensitized to it. It's symbolic only to them. I mean, just like we have certain symbols, like there's the Om symbol. That's our branding, or is it Om? Om. So that's our branding, or.
What about this David star?
The Star of David, the Jewish people. Yes, Star of David is the Jewish people. So that's their branding. They don't really, I know the Jewish people don't really know, most of them don't even know what it means. It's just the brand. You understand? Even though it's the Star of David, David is one of the biblical people. But they don't think about it. Or even like the Germans with the swastika. You know what? Does anyone know what it means? I mean, of course, in India, it means something auspicious, swastika, you know. But really, it was just a brand for them. They didn't really analyze it, you know, what it meant. You know, they said it meant something else. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the German analysis. But basically, it was something that represented their group. So it's like if one's a member of a particular cult or a gang, they'll dress in a certain way. It's like I was walking in the park the other day, and some young people said, Sir, your barber forgot to cut your hair. You know, they thought they were helping me, you know. Your barber made a mistake, you know. He left a patch of hair in the back. And, yeah, they did. They were trying to be helpful. So I was ready to say, no, this is my gang. This is my gang I'm a member of. I didn't say that. I said this is a tradition I like. So, you know, just like we have our Sikha. You know, the Sikha is a symbol. It's not that Krishna pulls you back to Godhead with your Sikha. Or else I'm not going back to Godhead because I don't have much of a Sikha to be pulled by. And the women will go back before me because they have a big Sikha on their head. So, no, I mean, the Sikha, it's a symbol. Like the tilak. There's another symbol like that. You know, tilak goes to the footprint of Krishna, Tulsi, like that. But most of the times people don't think about what it is. It's just a symbol. It represents to them, you know, Krishna consciousness. Or the dhoti is a symbol too, right? It's a symbol. So different religions have different symbols. Like the Muslims, they have their symbol too, isn't it? Yeah, they have a symbol. We have symbols. Every country has a flag, right? Mm-hmm. Finland, you have a flag?
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
There's a cross
on the flag? Oh, yeah, the Finnish flag. That's right. There's a Christian symbol on the Finnish flag. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I just realized that. And so there's different symbols. I mean, which really don't. But people don't think about it. When they see the Finnish flag, they don't think of Christianity, do they? So that's what I'm saying. The symbols, after a while, lose their meaning when you use them enough. That's just the nature of symbols. You become attached to them. They represent your life, but they lose the meaning. You don't really think. No, people aren't looking at the Finnish flag and seeing, oh, there's a Christian there. It's a Christian country. There's a Lutheran, right? Lutheran is the church here, the main church here? Yeah. So, what can be done? Hare Krishna. So we take prasadam now? That's good. It's a symbol for eating.